As noted on the board, I've chosen to take an event found in the Old Testament, in particular 1 Samuel, to have some discussion upon to something that I've entitled Encouragement. We find the situation here in the 30th chapter of 1 Samuel. If you have your Old Testaments, please turn as we read the first six verses of that chapter, chapter 30. And we find written here, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Zachin on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." I know that each and every one assembled here this morning have had days in their lives when it seemed like everything was falling apart. Days when it seemed like the end was near, the road was closed, you couldn't proceed any further on life's journey. Maybe you felt that God had turned against you because of the situations that were happening in your life. In this particular chapter 30 of 1 Samuel, we see David experiencing something very similar. He experienced quite a crisis here, as we'll study just for a few moments this morning. I've chosen to use this Old Testament event to try to establish some foundation upon this morning's study that I've entitled Encouragement. But before undertaking a more of a detailed study of this particular event and how it might affect us, and we might draw some application from it, we have a blessed privilege of humbling ourselves before our Father in heaven, to go to Him in prayer, to speak to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, offering our thanks for those things He's given us, and ask Him to continue His blessings upon us. A brother has been selected to word that prayer, and we ask that you humble yourself in some manner as we together go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. In this particular situation that David found himself in, he had just returned from another battle. And once he had returned to his camp, he realized that his camp was destroyed there. They had taken all of his goods. They had taken all of his wives and children captive. Amazing. Devastating to David as he come upon his camp, a crisis there that he encountered. You know, a crisis does not make a man, but it does reveal what a man is made of. What is really revealed within us, everybody can see when a crisis comes our way. Consider David's army, what they were experiencing. Not only David himself, but in these verses we read, we saw a little idea of what they were also experiencing too in this event. It is interesting to see how David reacted to his men being affected, how they all reacted to discovering of what they had lost there at the camp. We're told that these men of David David himself wept. They wept to the point that they could weep no more. They were out of tears. They no more tears could they shed, as we're told in verse 4. We find that others of his men complained, and they then blamed David for what had happened. So much blame was placed on David, and they felt so serious about that the situation comes to the point where they wanted to stone David himself, as we read in verse 6. But how did David face this situation that he found himself in? We're told here in verse 6 that he encouraged himself in the Lord. The New King James Version translates that and says that he strengthened himself in the Lord. You wonder, how would that have solved the problem that David found himself in by the losing of all of his supplies and his camp, as the women and his children? How could he strengthen himself in the Lord, having experienced such a loss such as that? I know it's easy in a crisis to blame someone else. Most often, all of us will find someone else to blame. We'll try to find a scapegoat. It's someone else's problem. Someone else has done this. But David, as I said, and as we read, shed tears just like his men did when they come upon that scene. But after shedding those tears, I believe that he and also his men stopped feeling sorry for themselves, and they turned to the Lord for help. Can you and I today get the encouragement that we need in the hours of crisis when they come upon within our life? Certainly the Lord is able to carry us through. We've heard many, many lessons, and we do believe that. When a crisis prevails within our life, do we fall upon ourselves, or do we look to the Lord for help? We do also know that nothing is impossible with the Lord. But how much dependence do we place upon Him in those times of crisis? There is no problem too big for Him to solve. So how do we, and what should we do in order to let God to encourage us? Let me suggest just a couple or three of two or three, a few steps. And in fact, it's the very same steps that David himself used this particular event. And the first one was that he surrendered his will to that of the Lord. In verse 7, if we were to continue reading, as you can look for yourself, David asked the high priest, Abiathar, to bring him an ephod. Now, that ephod was a device that was used by the priest in order to speak or determine the will of God. David asked the Lord if he should pursue the enemy, and God told him yes in verse 8. Then David continued to ask God if he and his men would recover their means and their loved ones. Again, God told him yes. So before David made any particular move, he first determined the will of God in this matter. So when a crisis comes, the first thing that we should do is surrender to the will of the Lord. God has a purpose for you and I this day, and if we surrender Him, we'll let that purpose proceed. If we surrender to Him, it will work out for our good and His will. To complain or to blame others is to miss a blessing that God has for us in store. Is to miss those experiences. In short, don't fight God's will. Galatians chapter 6, verse 5 reads this way, "For every man shall bear his own burden." Well, David encouraged himself in the Lord by surrendering to the Lord's will. You know, but David didn't stop there. He did something else also. He continued to ask God for strength in pursuit of the enemy. He needed strength. He had just now completed one battle. Now he was possibly en route to another battle, and he needed more strength. So David and his men, we do know, were all tired from their battle. Their emotional being had, their strength had been sapped from them as a result of the effort they had put in the previous battle, as we find recorded in verse 10. But in obedience to God, they mounted their horses and they rode off in pursuit of that enemy. Where did they get the strength? God gave it to them. When God tells us to do something, more often than not, He will give us the strength that we need to obey His will. Now, these men with David could have said, "Oh, we're just too tired. We just can't go today." Well, if we do read, there were some that stayed back, but the majority of them continued on, pursued on. God gave them the strength that they needed, and God will give you and I the strength that we need in those hours of crisis within our life. We can discover a very unusual strength in the Lord in the hours of darkness in our life. All we need to do, we do need to recall Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." First, surrender to God's will, then depend upon His strength, for His strength never fails. But there is also a third step. Trust God to do the rest. How would David and his group, his army, ever find where that enemy was hiding? And after he did find them, suppose that they were stronger and larger than his army. Was there enough time left? Perhaps the enemy had already killed the wives and all the children. So many questions raced through David's mind. But then he just turned it all over to the Lord and trusted God to assist him in the work at hand. God did work in a wonderful way, for He did lead David to the encampment of the enemy. They caught the enemy by surprise, and they recovered all their wealth and even their loved ones. It was a great victory, and like all victories, it was one of faith of David and that David had in God. That proves to me and also to us who are reading this that faith, that we are to live by faith. So when crisis comes within our lives, there are some things that we can do, but there are some things that we cannot do. And that's where faith comes in. Like David, we must do what God tells us to do, but also like David, we must trust in God to do those things that we cannot do. This past weekend, while my family and I were at the New Year's meeting in southern Alabama, I was made aware of two very extreme events. A young family man was tragically killed in an automobile accident, and I appreciate Chance mentioning him in his prayer, Scott Rothrock. When Mary and I traveled to Springfield to worship there at the Mission Hills congregation, we always sat behind Scott and his family. He had two of the smallest or the cutest little girls, ages 2 and 6. You could tell that they were his pride and joy. Scott wasn't a boisterous man. You probably wouldn't have known he was around, but he was a very stable Christian man. Two of the cutest girls. There's a couple of stories I'd like to relate to you that I was made aware of while there in Alabama. Two stories are very, very heart-wrenching. I'd like to relate them. First one is that his wife received a phone call from Scott. No one was there. All she could hear was sirens. That was very heart-wrenching. She immediately grabbed her two daughters, put their coats on, and said, "Let's go find Daddy." The girl's cousin, little boy about 6 years old, at the next worship service on Sunday morning, told his dad that he wanted to sit with his cousins during church services to help them. And the oldest girl of Scott's was so consumed with the well-being of her mother, she was constantly asking, "Mom, are you all right?" What a tragedy. What a loss. Great it was. The second event was the devastation of the panhandle of Florida from the hurricane that occurred in that vicinity back in October. My wife and I and my daughter and her family, we chose to drive to Panama City, which is about 80 miles south of Dothan, to worship there for Sunday morning. And during the trip there, we saw miles and miles and miles of devastation. We had never seen anything like it. I've seen the results of a tornado, but never something like this for the area that was so clear. Clear of trees and houses were torn in shambles, roofs off, businesses closed, shut down, utilities destroyed. There was a loss of jobs because of the businesses being destroyed. Some families, as I found out, their church even were displaced. The evangelist there himself could not, where he had lived was damaged to the point, was uninhabitable. The closest place he could find housing was in Dothan, 80 miles away. So we had to travel back and forth from Dothan to Panama City, about 80 miles for service and also to work with the church there. The church building had been damaged and it was in point of repair. But when we got there Sunday morning, it was not complete. It was planned to be completed, but was not. So as others in this audience can confer, we met outside with worship service. A good experience for us and others also. Understanding and realize what the devastation occurred there. Again, a tragedy. What loss, and great it was. So how does anyone overcome the unfortunate loss of a loved one, or the loss of a church building, or the loss of anything that you found worthy in your life? Where does one find encouragement in situations like these? My answer, the same way as David did. Surrender to the will of God. Ask God for strength. Trust God to do the rest. And then faith will control the actions within our lives. The way that we believe God determines how we will behave in situations such as this, and also within our whole life. David put himself in pursuit of the enemy. He trusted God would help him and would direct him. He trusted that God would give him and his men victory. And God honored his faith. Right now, you may not see how a problem in your life may be resolved. But God sees that, and it matters to God. If you look at yourself, you'll get discouraged. If you look at the circumstances around you, again, you will get discouraged. Romans 12, verse 12 reads this way: rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. The word tribulation means to be crushed, pressed, squeezed, stressed, burdened, or troubled. Be patient in tribulation. You know, that phrase to me reminds me that there will be tribulation in our life, but that we are to remain patient. Tribulations that we must and we shall endure with God's help. There's afflictions that come about in our lives. You know, it extends from cancer to calamity, conflict in our families, even death. These are all normal. They're part of what we must encounter on our way to heaven. Paul speaks of this when he was utterly crushed. Let's turn to read 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. The Apostle Paul was experiencing some difficulties at this particular point in time, and he wrote of those. Again, 2 Corinthians 1, beginning in verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our troubles, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. You see, he put his dependence upon God, just as David did. Be patient in tribulation. You do that as you are joyful in hope, not joyful in what is around us, but rather what is ahead of us. You might ask, why does life have to be filled with so many difficulties, so many problems, so many crises? Why can't it be just a little bit easier for me? There is one ultimate reason. And that's very simply that we are sinners. Sin is the reason for this tribulation. Before the fall of Adam into sin, there was no sicknesses. There was no diseases. There were no troubles, no problems, no difficulties. All of these came about because of sin. The very first tribulations that we read about in the Bible are referred to immediately after the disobedience of Adam and Eve. That was the beginning of tribulation and affliction. We have tribulation. We have difficulties in our life because of sin in general, because of sin in the world, and maybe within our lives. In these difficult days, learn the secret of encouraging ourselves in the Lord. One, surrender to God's will. Two, depend on God's strength. And three, leave the rest to God. And as we do, our discouragement will finally leave, and God will give us the wonderful victory that we want and that we desire as his children. As we close these words this morning, we never know the minds or the hearts of those who might be gathered here this day. There may be those in the audience which are desirous of coming to the Father, Jesus Christ, to be baptized for remission of sins. And there are steps that we need to abide by. But after hearing his word, by believing that word and repenting of past error, that sin is in our lives, confessing his name before others, and then to be baptized in the grave, watery grave of baptism for remission of our sins, to wash away those sins. Having done so, we are to live a life for Christ, be obedient to his desires and his commands. Sometimes we falter, we fail. And when doing so, we need to go to him to ask forgiveness of those errors and those failures, and pray to him for forgiveness. And if that be of a public nature, that needs to be done publicly, and ask for the prayers of the faithful. If there be any in the audience that is subject to the invitation, we bid you come forward as we stand to sing this song.